Welcome back, my beautiful gemsters. You're here listening to another segment here on Gems Podcast. With me today is Daniel Packard, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about who Daniel is, and we're going to dive into a lovely conversation filled with lots of content, and he has a lot of information to share, but we're also going to get you in touch with him one-on-one in the CTA, which is the call to action segment. But let's jump into what Daniel is doing now. So Daniel is a UC Berkeley mechanical engineer and CEO of Permanent Anxiety Solutions, who turned his painful battle with severe anxiety into a mission to innovate a permanent cure for anxiety. After 8 years and over $1 million of research and testing, working with 3,000 people on five continents, Daniel and his research team have succeeded in developing world's only permanent anxiety solution online program with a 90% success rate, and the only anxiety program in the world where clients don't pay at the beginning of the program, but at the end of the program. Once they have clear, measurable data that their anxiety is fully solved, y'all, Daniel is here to tell you why your anxiety won't go away, that the mental health industry doesn't want you to know. So lean in, grab a pen, a pencil, a piece of paper, or get ready to type some notes in your phone. And then we are going to take you on a journey so your anxiety to go away and stay away. So without further ado, let's welcome the man behind it all, Daniel Packard.
Oh my gosh. I have so many responses. Of course, your audience wants to know how to be free of fear of anxiety. But first, a couple things. The fact that you said, welcome, beautiful gemsters. I mean, wonderful gemsters. Am I a wonderful gemster? Am I part of the club?
Yes, you are.
Well, thank you. That just brightened my day. Hello, wonderful gemsters. And also, what an excellent intro. And I feel very grateful because not only, you know, we're all here to serve and be in purpose, and I get to every day be in purpose and help people, but also, you know, I get to do these podcasts where I get an intro like yours. And it just feels good. I wish everybody woke up every morning and just, you know, had a little intro. I mean, maybe Eugenesis could, you know, well, sort of like a cameo where people could pay and you could just jump up and like welcome people and be like, good morning, wonderful gemster. You are excellent at making smoothies and you can not only inhale, but exhale. I love you. Anyway, thank you for the intro. It is wonderful to be here and share some things with your audience that, yeah, feels important they need to know so they can be happier.
My pleasure. And I know since you have a lot of content to share, I just want to connect them with you a little bit more in a fun and personal manner. But we may not have time for a rapid 10 question game unless you're really rapid, but we could do an icebreaker. Do you think you're rapid or do you want to do an icebreaker?
Oh my gosh. I'll go with, let me check in with my heart. I'm going icebreaker for 400, Genesis.
Okay, icebreaker for 400. Y'all, we're breaking the ice with Daniel Packard. So Daniel, I want you to share something that you have done in your life that others from the outside looking in may have said, Daniel, that's a little crazy or you're a little nutso, but to you, it actually built some character and you learn more about yourself. What activity was that?
All right. So the first part of your question is something people wouldn't know about you. And I immediately thought of something really icebreakery, but then you said that made you like, you know, be a better person. I was like, it doesn't fit the bill, but I'm just going to go.
Well, you can do the first one then, if you want, share something that people don't know.
Yeah, just because it's the first thing. And trust me that you wouldn't expect this. And it's an icebreaker. So, in my 20s, my very dear friend taught me to be, wait for it, a professional balloon twister. Oh, yeah, ladies, get in line. The Danimal's in the house. I was taught to make like balloon hats, and I would go to restaurants and make balloon hats and balloon sculptures and work off tips. And, you know, it was a fun little job. And every now and then, though, we would get hired to do events. And so I got hired to do the sex workers' New Year's Eve ball in San Francisco. And I'm like, I'm in. So I show up and it's a lot of sex workers and they're raising awareness and they're raising money and they're having a party. And then there's someone walking around with a list saying who wants to enter the striptease competition. And I'm thinking, I do. Like, when else am I going to get a chance to enter a striptease competition? Also, I know you wouldn't guess it, but I've got moves, Genesis moves, M-O-O-V-E-S. I don't know where they come from. Actually, if you go to my website at the end, there is a video of me in a dance competition. And when you see someone that looks like me dance like that, it's sort of like when you see a dog walk on two legs, you're like, I'm intrigued and horrified. I'm a really good dancer. My nickname was James Light Brown. I don't know where it comes from, past lives, I'm not asking, but I got moves. And I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to enter the dance striptease. So I go just to get the life experience, and, you know, bucket list type things, even though it wasn't on my bucket list. But anyway, I get up on stage and there's all these professional, you know, exotic dancers, and they're beautiful women. And I'm a guy and I'm okay looking, but I'm not as pretty as a beautiful woman, and they know how to move. And so one by one, they start doing their erotic, hot, sexy dances, and everyone's going crazy. And I'm thinking, okay, if I try to compete with them, I'm going to lose. I'm not a beautiful woman. I'm not a trained exotic dancer. But I look out into the audience and I notice that I believe there was probably a high percentage of gay men in the audience. It was San Francisco. A lot of people think I'm gay. I'm not, but like I show up on their radar. So I'm just getting the vibe. And I thought, you know what? I can't compete in that category, but I'm going to play to the gay audience. And so I wrapped myself in balloons and then I made a balloon penis and then proceeded to do an erotic striptease, popping the balloons and making love to my balloon. As you can imagine, straight women, not into it. Gay men loved it. And I took second place. So there you go, Genesis. You probably wouldn't have expected it on your Daniel Packard bingo card, but I not only entered, but took second place in a professional striptease competition. How was that for an icebreaker?
Wow, that was an icebreaker, y'all. So I hope you learned a little bit more about Daniel. Now we're going to zoom over into what we're actually going to talk about today, which is anxiety, getting rid of anxiety and having anxiety stay away. So for those of you listening, I want you to ask yourself, have I ever felt anxious, and what caused me to feel that way? And I want you to just write it down. So whenever he begins to unpack some of the tools, then you can use this as a follow-up. And then whenever you want to learn more, you could connect with him afterwards. So Daniel, you talked about anxiety and dealing with anxiety. I know you dealt with PTSD. So when did you decide that it was time to just really bite the bullet and just do something else about it? Because spending $1 million in research is a lot.
It was a lot. And it's an excellent question. I like that you asked your audience to, you know, engage and write things down. So there was sort of two motivations I had. One motivation is when I found out I had anxiety and PTSD. The other motivation was why I decided to start a research company and try and solve this, because that's what we did. We figured out a system and a collection of tools that makes it so not just anxiety, really just any fear, fear, insecurity, self-doubt, just fear, anxiety, panic attacks, anything that you would describe as fear and or feeling afraid or anxious. We have a program that solves it permanently and in a way that's simple. And that was not easy. Like it took 8 years, over $1 million in research. I had to give up my successful entertainment career. I mean, it was a lot. And here's why I did it. I did it because at my heart, I'm an inventor. And I'm an inventor because growing up, my dad was a scientist and an inventor. I mean, he was a professional scientist, but he would invent things. there would be something not working at the house, or he would buy something and it wouldn't work that well. And he would just go into his workshop and make a better version. And I thought, Dad, you're like the X-Men. That's incredible. He just didn't, it was like a Harry Potter trick. And I was mesmerized by this. And he told me one day, he said, you know, Daniel, if something out there isn't what you want, you can just make something better, invent something better. And I thought, that is just an empowering concept. And he also told me something. He said, you know, a lot of people have ideas and theories, but what the person you want to trust and what really matters in life is results. You know, results matter. And that stuck with me. And I loved inventing things that got results. It was very fun for me. As a little kid, I would invent things. I would invent bike parts. I don't know if you remember Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Maybe a little.
Yes.
There's the scene in his bedroom where he's got the little pulleys and the little levers and things to, like, you know, that was me. I was my little mini MacGyver, and I would make things that would work and get results and that made my life better, other people's lives better. It was really, it was deeply fulfilling to make things that work. And so I went to engineering school to get really like a proper training, how you do this properly. And what you learn in engineering school is how to look at a complex problem that's unsolvable and sort of break it down into its mechanics and mechanisms. And then you come up with a theory, then you build a prototype. But you're not done. You test it to see, does this work? Does it not work? Does it get results? And if it doesn't get results, you tweak it and you optimize it. And so not only do results matter, but the way you get to results is not just through a theory. You have to test it and optimize it and tweak it and polish it. So the good news was I came out of engineering school and I was pretty good at making machines that work. The problem was I didn't know much else. I didn't know how to make life work. I didn't know how to make relationships work. And so I fell in love with a woman, and spoiler alert, we did not live happily ever after. The relationship turned really unhealthy very quickly. And I later found out I was at times being emotionally and definitely verbally abused. And I was too insecure and too codependent to leave. And I just stayed, and I took the abuse, think, you know, rationalizing it, what we all do. Oh, one red flag. Oh, that's just one red. Oh, two red. Oh, 20 red flags. Oh, well, they didn't mean to. Just all the classic telltale signs of, and I stayed. And, you know, I did something that I know your audience would never do. I stayed in a relationship way too long. Just me, I know. And
let's pause there really quick, because I want to see if you staying in that relationship way too long and dealing with, you know, mental and verbal abuse, was that what led to your anxiety and your PTSD, or was it something else?
Gold stars to you and those playing at home, 100%. Because when the relationship finally ended about 2 weeks after, out of nowhere, I was just hanging out with a friend, and they interrupted me, and my whole body was filled with terror. And I thought, oh, that's not a good sign. And then the next day, I was supposed to meet a friend, and they were running 5 minutes late, and all of a sudden my chest tightened and I could barely breathe. And I thought, oh, this is not good. So yes, I went to a therapist, and they said, well, you have complex PTSD and severe anxiety. Mm. And absolutely. And I didn't, now I know exactly why one caused the other, but at the time I was in terror. The smallest thing, I couldn't leave the house. I couldn't do what I love. I was exhausted, because you're not meant to be afraid all the time. My confidence went away. And then my friends and family walked away from me, leaving me feeling even more like broken and alone, because I didn't want to be around a person in pain. And that's not the worst part. The worst part is I went looking for help. You know, I went to therapists, and I went to doctors and psychologists and spiritual teachers and gurus, and I tried all the techniques and modalities and apps and meditations. And what I wanted was relief. I wanted to be free of this, but everything I tried didn't, I wasn't free of it. It was just Band-Aids. It never got to the root cause. It was better than nothing, but I felt trapped. I felt more confused. I felt like this was my fault. Like I was broken. And I really hit rock bottom at one point. I wouldn't have taken my own life, but I got why people do. Because if you're in a lot of pain, if you're not living the life you want to live and you've tried a lot of things and nothing's worked, you feel trapped, you feel hopeless. And I felt hopeless. And I, in a moment of just kind of desperation, surrender, humility, I just looked up to the universe, God, and just went like, what the F, God, you know, what do you want from me? I've spent the last 10 years and $100,000 trying to figure this out. I know this is a test, but I need, what do you want me to do? And I'll do it. And I heard this basically like a voice that said, that reminded me what my dad said, which is, if something's not working,
invent it.
Invent something better, and results matter. And I had this sort of, oh crap moment of realizing that a lot of therapy and psychology and spirituality, while well-intentioned, has a lot of good people, it doesn't get great results. It doesn't solve this fear and anxiety. Mm-hmm. It's often just managing it. It never gets the root cause, and it's also never simple. Mm-hmm. And I just saw somebody had to try to do this. So for my pain, but also I saw the world was in pain. They needed something simple and effective and permanent. Mm-hmm. And to help me and the world, I started my own research company to see if we could solve this. Now, I didn't know if we could. Mm-hmm. I just said, somebody's got to try, because this ain't, anxiety's on the rise, man.
Yeah.
And the short answer is, after 3 years of research and testing, I was one of the first test cases. I woke up one morning and I was just calm. And the things that used to set me off didn't set me off. And I thought, well, that's got to be temporary. There's no way it's permanent. So 1 week goes by.
Let's pause there really quick, just so the audience could let that marinate. So y'all, what you're hearing so far is Daniel's describing himself going from that panic state of mind to a calm state of mind, and realizing that since, you know, spending all this time going to therapists, meditation, spiritual people, it still wasn't helping him get to the root cause to really analyze what was really going on with him. And dealing with PTSD does not necessarily mean that it's someone who goes to war. Post-stress traumatic disorder can happen to anyone. So I wanted to just put that out there. But we're also going to hear Daniel share how, you know, using himself as a test case and partnering with these resources, how you can take your anxiety and your panic and go into a state of calmness so you can help yourself, but also help those who are in your life as well. Because sometimes when we're going through turmoil, other people may be going through turmoil and they cannot bear their own turmoil along with yours. So sometimes they have to separate themselves from you in order for them to be in a stronger place to deal with you, because you can't put trauma upon trauma, because then you're just pressing it all down and one day it's all going to explode and no good is going to come out of that. So Daniel, I want you to share, okay, now that you have gone through this with your research and you have your own program, what were some of the steps you took in the program to help you go from panic to calmness?
I mean, that's a great question. There's a lot of answers to that. And I appreciate what you're saying to your audience. I mean, that if you don't heal this or face this, you know, you don't get away with it. It's going to follow you around. I believe very firmly that what we experience, this pain, is also God wanting us to learn a lesson. If you don't learn the lesson, the patterns will keep repeating. Your audience probably knows that on some level. However, it's not so simple, because most of what's available out there is just management. Sadly, when we went to go do our research, is anybody solving PTSD and anxiety like permanently, where it's gone and doesn't come back? Are people free of it? And is it quick and simple? And we couldn't find anybody. So even though, yes, people want to deal, quote unquote, deal with this stuff, what's available out there, I found, sadly, doesn't solve it. You're still managing it. And we wanted people, I wanted to be free of this. We don't want to always be learning and exploring and peeling back layers of the onion. That's not bad, but we wanted people to be, I've been free of it for 10 years, been chill as a cucumber. And that's what our clients get. And here's why this was possible. It was possible because we wanted it to be possible, meaning we wanted to solve this. We wanted people to be free of it. Your average therapist or psychologist, they learn some tips and tools to manage it, and they make some money, and they're okay with that. And that's fine with them. But my dad told me results matter. So we went looking for a solution, and Key was a simple solution, because your audience knows, if they've ever had anxiety and tried to work, it's very confusing. What is it? Do I have anxiety? Are these anxious feelings? Is this my childhood? Is it the future? Is it the past? Is it the pandemic? Is it social media? Is it my partner? Calgon, take me away. Like I remember being so confused, which just made the anxiety worse. So we had to make something that worked and that was simple. That's how you help people. And the way that we did that was we stopped using what was available out there. What does that mean? We saw that the mental health community wasn't getting the job done for a couple key reasons. You want to know the key reason? Want to know?
Yeah. What's the key reason?
Okay. Well, there's two key reasons. But the one that'll be valuable to your audience is, we are told that anxiety is a problem of the mind. You know, we're told, you know, quiet your scarcity mindset, don't think about the future, you know, have thoughts of gratitude. They give us pills to target the neurotransmitters in our brain. You know, it's called mental health. It's got the word mental right in there. So I thought anxiety is a problem of the mind. Your audience, or maybe a lot of your audience, thinks anxiety is a problem of the mind. Now, okay, but we were scientists. We were engineers. We said, is this getting the job done? Maybe it's a problem of the mind, but I spent 10 years trying to quiet my mind. Did it work? No. So just based on results, we said, is it a problem of the mind? I don't know. And because we were outsiders, we weren't attached to any pre-existing paradigm. You know, we didn't have letters after our name, so we could just challenge everything. And we said, is anxiety a problem of the mind? Because if it is, we would have solved it. And we started paying attention. Is it a problem of the mind? Is it a problem of the mind? We started doing research and collecting data. And then I was on an elevator, and I heard this woman turn to her friend, and she said, "Oh, I feel so anxious right now." And I went, "Feel anxious. She feels anxious. People say, I feel anxious. Do people say, I think anxious or I feel anxious, Genesis?"
Feel. So it's a feeling, not a thing of the mind. It sounds like
it's not just a feeling. It's the location of a feeling. When we feel it, where do we feel it? You'll feel it. Your throat can close up. Your chest can tighten. Your heart rate can go up. Your stomach can get that queasy feeling. So the experts, you know, they've told me and the world and a lot of your audience, hey, this is a problem of the mind. But listen to those words. Throat, chest, heart, stomach. Does that sound like the mind to you, or more like the body?
More so like the body, yeah.
Yeah. Is that complicated or is that simple?
It seems pretty much simple, because then you just target the areas in your body to help you release those feelings of anxiety.
Pretty much. I mean, it was still a lot of work to figure out how to do it, but at least we had the right location. So I'm telling your audience this because a lot of your audience is told it's a problem of the mind, and the experts mean well, but they have an incomplete understanding of what's going on. And the reason it frustrates me is it confuses people, and it sends people on this lifelong wild goose chase. And then when you fail, guess what? You think it's your fault. I'm broken. There's something wrong with me. You feel trapped. It's my fault. And I want to let your audience know, this is not your fault. The reason you haven't solved your anxiety yet is because the experts accidentally sent you to the wrong location. And so you don't even have an anxiety problem. You have a location problem. And once we saw the correct location, the body, and started developing a system that focused just on the body, the body calmed down and the mind calmed down with it. So the reason this matters is because it's the right location and we're able to help people, not because we're wizards or we're better, but because we paid attention and saw where it was actually coming from. And now we're allowing people to actually address it at the real root cause so they can be free of this. That's why this matters.
Okay, so now, because I know our time is getting ready to wind down here, so I want to make sure we're setting this up so they could begin to do their research afterwards whenever they go into connecting with you. So with this solution that you all came up with, you and your researchers, are there like, is it like a 10-step guide, or is it something like tapping into the chakras and the different parts of the body to help them release the anxiety and any tension that they may feel? Or what does that look like exactly?
So there's two answers. The first is, and I wish I had more time, but it also it's good because it makes me be efficient. So what we saw was the location in the body that it's coming from is the nervous system, which sort of makes sense. Everybody's feeling nervous. You could call anxiety extra nervous. Kind of makes sense. The nervous system. So that's where it's coming from. The nervous system is basically in an unhealthy state. And when the nervous system is in an unhealthy state, what you feel is unsafe. When you feel unsafe, you'll call it anxiety, but really you feel unsafe from within. That you don't have an anxiety problem, you have an inner safety problem. And it's because the nervous system is misregulated. So to heal that, it wasn't any one particular tool or technique. The special sauce, so to speak, is that it's not special. It was multiple tools working together in the right formula and recipe, and keyword like timing and the amount and repetition. And the testing, because what happens is a lot of your, audience just gets individual tools and techniques, and the therapist or psychologist says, "Here you go," and they don't know how much do I do it, how often do I do it, when I do it. So we've laid out this system, and it took 8 years to figure out if you work these steps in this order, you do four exercises 5 times a day. What it does is it heals your nervous system such that you just feel safe from the inside out. And when you feel safe, then your anxiety, your fear basically dissipates and not comes back. But also the great thing about the program, because it's based in repetition, by the time the 6 weeks is over, you've now built a daily habit. So now you can do 3 minutes of maintenance to keep your system, your nervous system safe and calm so that it never comes back.
Okay. So, and it takes about 60 to 90 days for a habit to truly form and stick. So, what are those 5 steps like that they
No,
do?
just to, it's not six. I mean, yes, I've heard that it's 60 to 90 days. Our program is 6 weeks. Is 6 weeks. What I was saying is that as you're going through the program, doing your daily exercises, essentially, you're building a simple daily habit that you can then carry forward. And the benefit of that is that, you're able to maintain your results, because the last thing we want is for people to get results and then lose results. That's not helping people.
Okay, so one thing I want to ask before we jump into the CTA, because I definitely want to make it clear for the audience. So these exercises, what are the exercises? Can you share them briefly? Because I know we have about 6 minutes, so I want to jump into the call to action.
If I thought it would help your audience understand enough that like I said, it's like six tools working simultaneously, and it's really the order and the sequence and timing. And I can't kind of condense 8 years of work into a few minutes. But here's what I can sort of share, is that the reason we feel unsafe is it's not so much psychological, it's more mechanical, it's more reflexive. So, what do I mean by that? Like, let's say we're friends, which we are. We're kind of like friends. I'm a wonderful gemster. Okay. So I'm going to talk to you, Genesis. But when I say the word you, I'm like talking to your audience as well. Okay. So let's say we're friends. Okay. And now let's say all of a sudden I start being mean to you and unkind to you. And when you need me, I'm not there for you. When you're scared, I don't care. When you ask for help, I don't care. And I put everybody ahead of you and I put you last. And when you're in danger or need help, I tell you I don't care. If I treated you that way, would you feel safe and calm or unsafe and anxious?
I'm safe and anxious.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just mechanical. It's just a reflex. It's always going to be that way. Okay. So now let's say you tell me, okay, on the count of three, I want you to say, "Hey, Daniel, the way you're treating me leaves me feeling unsafe." Okay. On the count of three, say, "Hey, Daniel, the way you're treating me leaves me feeling unsafe." Okay. One, two, three.
Hey Daniel, the way that you're treating me makes me feel unsafe.
Why are you telling me this? I don't care. First of all, nothing's wrong. Your life is fine. There's no tigers around. You're crazy. I don't know why you feel like this. And honestly, your feelings are bothering me. I'm trying to have a life and you are getting in the way of what I need. So whatever you're dealing with, get away and leave me alone. Mm-hmm. Does that leave you feeling safe and calm or unsafe and anxious?
Unsafe and anxious.
Yes. It's just mechanical. It's not mm-hmm. that complicated. But now, after you tell me how you feel, and say, hey, Daniel, you know, I feel unsafe. If I was to turn to you and say, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. You're not even anxious. How you feel makes sense given how I've treated you. Thank you for telling me, and I'm going to rebuild your trust so that you feel safe around me. Yeah. It'll take a while, but in the meantime, would that help you feel safer and more calm?
Yeah, because you're showing that, okay, my feelings do matter, and you know, you're taking time to listen and really hear what I said. So that was a good role play there. And I know since we're pressed for time, we're just going to pause there just so they could get your contact information so they could connect with you to learn more about the 6 weeks course and how they could do more with this program to help them. So let's jump into the CTA, Daniel. What is the homework that you want them to do after hearing this segment, since we weren't able to go into as much details?
So there's two things. One, I'll just say 30 seconds kind of to wrap up the, you know, that role play. What we saw was in that role play, I was not treating you well. And if you don't treat another person well, they will start to feel unsafe. So what we saw is we're in a relationship with ourselves and we're not treating ourselves well. And essentially that's leaving you feeling unsafe from within yourself. So what the program does over 6 weeks is it repairs that relationship with yourself so you feel safe from within. That's what we're doing over 6 weeks. Now there's two ways that we can help your audience. One is the 6 week program. If you like what you're hearing, you can go to my website. You can book a free call with me. You tell me more about your life and I'll show you more about your nervous system, why you feel unsafe and how we can help you. Also, you can see the dance video of me. If, however, you are like, Daniel, this sounds good, but I'm not convinced. We also have a free technique that people can download at danielpacker.com. And you can try this technique, feel it for yourself so that you can see for yourself. Don't trust me. You don't know me. But I want to give you an experience that you really can be free of anxiety and that it's simple, but I want you to feel it for yourself. So you can get that free technique at danielpacker.com. And the other thing that I want to share, which you can read about at our website, which is very meaningful to me. Again, when we work with people, we don't charge you in the beginning because we're here to help and we don't take your money until we can help you. And we do that because people have been so conditioned to believe this is complicated that when we say it's simple, people think that's too good to be true. So we made it very easy for people to get help by saying, look, it's no risk to try it. Try it. If it doesn't work, you don't pay. If it does work, you get your life back. It's just good math. So if any of that sounds good, if you want the free technique, if you want to book a call with me and talk more and learn more, all of that is at the website, which is in the CTA.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Daniel, for just sharing that and sharing how you went from panic to calmness. Audience, beautiful jumpsters, make sure you like and follow the podcast. We're on 40 plus platforms, audio based. And then we also have the video to the recordings on YouTube. So just type in Gems with Genesis Amaris Kemp to see the videos if you want to see Daniel's lovely face and see what another jumpster looks like. Until then, peace, love, and lots of blessings.